All right, our reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter number 29, starting at verse number 4. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I do not send them. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Amen. Turn to your neighbor, put your device down, put your Bible down, grab your neighbor by both hands, look them square in the eye as you grab them by both hands, and say, "Neighbor, I'm still investing in you. Neighbor, I'm still investing in you." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I'm Still Investing in You." I want us to see something which we all can relate to. I want us to truly this day take a look at who we are, where we are, and what we are doing. Realizing that in our lives, when we're truthful with ourselves, we realize that we have ended up in some places, not because it was God's fault, but our own. One of the things that God wants us to realize and to be today is accountable. I think that the reason why we can't move forward is because we have not held ourselves accountable for where we are. Once we hold ourselves accountable for where we are, then we're able to progress and to move forward. The one thing that is true about our God is that he's nothing but the truth. And what we're seeing and reading here today, y'all, it's tough. Many of us know Jeremiah 29:11. We can quote that for, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, and says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." That sounds good, and we like quoting that. But the problem is that it's like a kite. A kite is hard to fly if it don't have a tail on it. Verse 11 is the tail to the kite. Verses 4 through 10 is the kite. And the only reason why it's able to sail is because it has that tail. So what we have to go do right now is we have to understand the purpose of what God said in the tale in verse 11, but understand what he said prior from verses 4 through 10. This was a rough time for Israel. Because the prophet Jeremiah, who we call the weeping prophet, knew what was coming, knew the people would not do different, knew that they had started down a path of regressing from God, started down a path where they became so self-absorbed, started down the path of forgetting that everything they have came from the one who blessed them and had delivered them from Egypt. Came from the one who gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. God was the one that had already prepared the table and they were eating from the table. But after they ate for a while, then all of a sudden, a generation or two forgot it wasn't the table that they prepared. It was God. But rather than talk about God, they started talking about how their table looked so good, how it was filled with so much stuff. And then they started putting a whole bunch of stuff on it that didn't have nothing to do with God. They started moving God further and further away from the table. And I want you to know, eventually they pushed God off the table. And then looked at the table and said, boy, I got me a great table with all the fixings on it that I've prepared. But the reality is nothing can grow unless God blesses it. You couldn't fix it unless God blessed you to fix it. But when we forget about the source and look again at all the resources, then we start tooting our horn for what we can do. But God said enough. And the Babylonians came and dominated them. Took them into exile. And now that they're in exile, what we're seeing is that God comes and speaks to Jeremiah. Write this letter and send it to those in exile in Babylon. Because I want them to understand some things. And the interesting thing as we look at this, what God starts off by saying to them is that you're in exile because I sent you there. From Jerusalem to Babylon. And what we're seeing is that exile is not a fun place. They are in what is called the unfamiliar place, Reverend Rhodes. They are in a place that is a barren land to them. They are in a place that if they had a choice, they wouldn't be there. And what we're seeing before, they're seeing before their very eyes is, look at where we are and how did we get here? Some folk looked at it and wanted to blame God. Other folks said, no, we got to look at this thing for real, for real. All right. And the for real is that this ain't on God, this is on. And now that we are where we are in Babylon, God said, I sent you to exile. And I exiled you from Jerusalem to Babylon. Well, when we see this, there's something that we can't miss. And what we can't miss was when the Babylonians came. They didn't have to take nobody back. Digging booth, they could have wiped everybody out right where they were. And what God did not allow is for them to be wiped out because of their sin. They were given an opportunity to continue to live even though they have sinned. Now, but the mistake that we can make, and the mistake that the Israelites were making that were there in Babylon, is that they weren't living, they were just existing. They were having pity parties because they are in exile. I can't go when I want, I can't do what I want, because I'm now under the rule of the Babylonians. I'm in their backyard. So to me, it's a barren place. I don't owe nobody anything in this place. And what God is saying to them, build houses. You see it? Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Before I go any further, what? You want me to do what in this barren land? This is a barren land to me. I don't want to do nothing in this. The reason why I don't want to do nothing in this, because this ain't mine. And since it ain't mine, I don't want to help it to improve. Because I am in a place that I wasn't expecting to be. But what God is saying is that if you knew me back in Jerusalem the way you should have knew me, you wouldn't have to get to know me in a far home. Because you didn't get to know me like you should have in Jerusalem, I'm giving you another chance to know the power of who I am. I'm giving you another chance to know I am the same God that was there in Jerusalem. I'm the same God here in Babylon, because I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And no matter where you are, I am right there. No matter where you find yourself, I am right there. And wherever you think you can't be blessed, you are lying to yourself, because I can bless you wherever I see you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, I understand some of us might be in a Babylon situation, but know for a fact, God can bless you wherever you are. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that our God is everywhere, and wherever I am, I know my God can bless me. Turn to give somebody a high five and say, I know my God can bless me. You see, God is telling them, you got to continue to live. And as you continue to live, he says in the end of verse 6, multiply there and do not what? Decrease. Why is this significant? If we serve a God who is the giver of life, the people of God should never be on decrease. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever state we are in, if we are God's people, we should always be on the somebody's working with me. But how is it that we can shout on Sunday how good God is, but all the other 6 days of the week minus 2 hours on Sunday, we are not on increase? We find ourselves on the, don't you know your 2 hours of shout ain't all God is looking for? God wants you to live a life, and live a life to the abundance of the one who has blessed you with a life. That's why when Jesus came, he said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He was reiterating what we're seeing right here in Jeremiah, because what we're seeing is God is telling the people, it is time for you to continue to multiply. You got to continue to rejoice no matter where you find yourself. You got to continue to live no matter where you find find yourself, because I'm blessing you wherever you are, whatever your Babylon is. I want you to know God is blessing you. He's blessing you in your Babylon. But it's left up to us to truly want to be blessed. And if we really want to be blessed, we will do as instructed. You see, some folk might make the mistake of reading this who were there in exile and say, how dare Jeremiah write this letter to us at a time like this? He said God guided him to write this letter at a time like this. We are a people who thought we were something, but now I see myself as a nothing because I'm in exile. I'm in a foreign land, but God is telling me to live life to the fullest. God is telling me that he's going to bless me. God is telling me to build houses. God is telling me to plant gardens. God is telling me it's going to produce some stuff, and that I'm going to take a wife, and then I have children, and my sons should take wives, and my daughter should be given to marriage. How dare God try to tell us to continue to live life? Doesn't he know where we are? How can he want me to live like I'm in Jerusalem and I'm here in exile with the Babylonians having their foot on my neck? How is it that God is saying live? You see, my brothers and sisters, it's easy to live when it's going good. But what happens when it ain't going good? And it's all your fault that it done went bad. God didn't throw you away because you're still here. And since you are still here, God is telling you it's time for you to. But God, I can't live not under these conditions. Why not? Because you ain't appreciate what I blessed you with. You did not praise me for what you had. You weren't thanking me for how I gave you what you had. And now that you are back down to ground zero, are you ready now, right now, to put your complete trust in me? Are you ready to give yourself an overhaul and say, Lord, I know I fell short, but Lord, I'm no longer going to live a defeated and depleted life. Even though the enemy might think they have defeated us, God, you're telling me to live like I got the victory, because I believe you're going to give it to me again. How can I do that when I look all around me? God is still saying the same thing to us today. Some of us are going through some hellacious stuff in our life. But God is still saying to us, live! Do not decrease, but multiply. And if we choose not to multiply, the only other choice we have is to decrease. In essence, God wants us to go forward. But Lord, how can I go forward where I am? You got to understand who's the one who's telling you to go forward. You got to understand the history you have with God. You see, the Israelites almost forgot the history they had. They were told to walk forward when there was a Red Sea in front of them. But God blew it and made a dry ground for them to walk across. They've forgotten that God is the one that fed them in the wilderness when they ain't have no food for themselves. They've forgotten it was God that supplied them with water from a rock. They have forgotten it was the Lord that allowed the walls of Jericho to fall. They have forgotten it was the Lord who made a way out of no way for all of them. And you mean to tell me right now, because you are in a place you don't want to be, you can't leave? Do you see it? Can we go a little further? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is the tough part. Look at verse 7. He says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray. What? And pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Y'all ready to go deal with this? In essence, what God is saying to you. Are you able to show love when love ain't being shown to you? Are you able to pray for somebody who wouldn't dare pray for you? Are you willing to bring them to the altar and pray the effectual, fervent prayer, asking God to bless them? God, bless them. Even though I am here under their rule, bless them. Because God, as I pray for them and you bless them, you are going to also bless me as well. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the one thing that stops us from moving forward is because we become so self-absorbed. We want to hate on other folk, and we got to learn how to pray for those folk who will hate on us. Pray. Pray for the city. Lord, I want to pray for you to destroy them so I can go back home. Ah! You got to learn. You got to go back to ground zero. And you got to build from the ground up. Because it's going to give you a much more appreciation of who I am and what I can do. Because the Babylonians are going to look at you like you're crazy. They building houses while they're here. What? They building gardens while they're here. What? And then once they got gardens, guess what? They feeding themselves, and then they also giving some to the enemy. Oh, somebody going to work with me? Don't you know that when God blesses you, no matter where you find yourself, that he's going to use you to be a blessing to those who've been hating on you? You see, my brothers and my sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't want to be a hater. I want to be a lover. Now, we ain't talking about players. We're talking about loving folk that wouldn't dare think about loving you. We're talking about loving all folk who've been hating on you for a long time. You're talking about loving folk who've been talking about you, dogging you out, throwing stones at you, but you're going to love on them anyhow. You see, I'm a lover. I'm not a hater, because God loved me when I was hating on him. You see, I know we're looking how holy we are right now, but you ain't always been this holy, because the way you were living your life, you was hating on. But God was still loving on you. So God is calling us to be a lovers and not haters. Because if you hate, and you can't pray for folk. And then I want you to understand something. There's another piece to this. When they were taken into exile, some of the so-called prophets and diviners were taken into exile with them. And these so-called prophets and diviners, Reverend Flippin, was telling the people, God's going to deliver us from this place real quick and in a hurry. Y'all, we ain't going to be here long. I saw it in a dream. In about 1 week or two, maybe 3-4 at the most, God's going to come, deliver us from this enemy. So we ain't going to do nothing right here except sit here and wait for God to deliver us. Don't do nothing but just sit here. And this is when the letter shifts. And he tells them in verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams. What? That they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did did not send them, says the Lord. So, who you going to listen to? One is telling you change is coming real quick and in a hurry. The other one is writing you a letter on behalf of God. And then after all that, he says in verse number 10, that God ain't going to do nothing until after the 70 years are completed. Then he will visit and he will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. What we're here seeing, and it still happens in church today. There are some folks who say, and can say to you, Reverend Rose, well, the Lord told me to tell you X, Y, and Z. I hear what you're saying, but I truly believe God ain't scared of me, and that God can talk to me just as well as he can talk to you. Oh, ain't nobody hear me any right now. You have to understand that God ain't scared of you. He don't have no problem telling you when you're wrong and telling you when you're doing right. But we'll have some folk who will always say this or say that. But what we have to learn is when we find ourselves in our Babylonian experience, we have to find ourselves getting more in tune with God to make sure that what I'm hearing from God, and that I'm not listening to what man or women are saying, but I'm listening to what thus saith the Lord. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you understand that it didn't take you out, it was because God's grace and mercy has kept you here, which means that God still got some work for you to do. So even if you find yourself in your Babylonian experience, you have to realize that God is going to get you to it. He's going to bring you through it, and I'm going to trust you through the whole process. You see, my brothers and my sisters, whatever our God is doing, he does not work off of a microwave theology. Everybody wants it. But God said, I don't move like you want me to move. I ain't a dog that you whistle for and I'm going to come running. I work on my time, and if you trust on me, trust in me, you got to work with me and believe that I got your best interest at heart. I don't want to cook nothing too fast, because it can look done on the outside, Deacon Rosa, but just as raw on the inside. Don't you know that God works on us from the inside out? You see, when God works on us from the inside out, that means that when the cake is cooking, the doughy stuff on the inside gets done. And once that gets done, then on the outside it starts to get. So in order for it to cook like that, it's got to take some time. And now that we understand what's happening here in verse number 10. After he has given them all the instructions in verses 4 through 7, told them to watch out for in verse 8, and told them in verse 8 and 9, and then told them that the time frame they're going to be working with, then he lets them know here in verse number 11, for surely I know the plans that I have for you. Isn't that what he says? And he says the Lord, the plans for your welfare and not your harm, to give you a future with hope. Right now, the Israelites are feeling hopeless. And they're trying to find out where to get some hope from. So when that happens, there's always somebody trying to make some money off the moment. But I want you to understand that you know those who are hirelings versus those who are shepherds. Because the hireling, when the problem come, they out. But a shepherd is going to stick in there through thick and through thin, with the understanding and the realization, if I am who God has called me to be, I'm going to do as God instructs me. And when you are one of the sheep of God, you realize that he has been blessing you all this time, and that if he's been blessing you all along, even though you've messed up and you're still here, that's letting you know that he is still blessing you. That is why we entitled our sermon, I'm still investing in you. And the one who was investing in you is who? God. You see, my brothers and my sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he ain't throw me away. You know how you know God ain't throw you away? Because you're sitting up in here listening to me right now, which lets us all know that God did not throw us away. I don't care who threw us away. God didn't throw us away. God is still blessing us. God is going to still use us. Do I got anybody in God's house who understands? I don't care how many folk told you you were garbage. God told you you were important, and he is still investing in you. Do I got anybody in God's house who understands? I don't care what you say about me. I know God is still investing in me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care about the Babylonian experience. You got to understand, God can bless you in your Babylonian experience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, hallelujah. He can bless you in your Babylonian experience.